Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Customer Podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Salesforce, the world's number one service platform. With Salesforce, you have a 360-degree view of your customers, empowering agents and making interactions easy for your customers. The result? Deeper customer relationships built on intelligence, empathy, and trust. Visit sfdc.co/customer-service to find out more.
Today, our editorial director, Steve Hurst, is joined by Steve Morrell. Steve Morrell is the managing director of Contact Babel, which was founded in 2001 to provide high-quality research and analysis to the UK contact centre industry. He has written hundreds of research reports, and his opinion on contact centres has been featured on the BBC, ITV, Sky, The Guardian, Forbes, and the Financial Times. He has recently become managing director of aboutmatch.co.uk, which helps UK contact centres find the right suppliers for them.
Welcome to this Engage Business Media podcast with our partner Steve Morrell. Steve is principal analyst at Contact Babel, which was founded in 2001, nearly 20 years ago now, to provide high-quality research and analysis to the UK and US contact centre industries, an industry that has really been impacted by the pandemic, I think, as much, if more than most others. How are you today, Steve?
Very well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to have you on this podcast, and we've got lots to get through, and obviously this podcast will have a COVID-19 impact element to it because of what's been happening over the last 4 months. So I'll just crack on with this, Steve, because I know we've got lots to get through. So what stats do you have on how the pandemic has changed remote working, for example? Any difference in call volumes or digital, email, chat, social?
As you know, Contact Babel focuses very hard on the hard data to tell a story rather than kind of my own opinion. Some of the most interesting stats I've seen in, 20, 25 years of being an analyst have happened in the last few months, which is, one of the very few positives for me. What I can say, going back 10 years ago, probably about 1% of contact centre agents in the UK worked at home. And since then, there's been a very kind of gradual rise. Up to about 4% work at home at the end of 2019. And unsurprisingly enough, that number has gone rather higher from 4% up to about 75% at the moment. Now, obviously, there's going to be some kind of, pushback from that when the tide goes back out. People are going to go back to work. I don't think we're going to see... certainly I'm not going to revert to 4%. We'll go on to the reasons for that, why, but, I think some of them are going to be pretty obvious. Looking at some of the other stuff, other data around how the contact centres are actually performing, call volumes and digital and stuff like that, well, the kind of pattern of call volumes is very mixed. Some types of business have seen major increases, but there are a very significant number of businesses, almost as many, which have seen a drop in call volumes, in fact. Now, some of this is going to be driven by customer demand. So organizations like, banks, airlines, type of government departments that, unfortunately deal with unemployment claims, they've seen enormous rises or volumes, which in most cases they haven't been able to handle. But, on the opposite side, we've got businesses like luxury retailers, claims departments of car insurers, because, nobody was driving at a certain time. They're the ones that kind of saw a drop off or volumes. But what was really interesting for us was to see that digital volume, so email, chat, social media, they didn't display the same patterns because very few respondents indeed reported any drop in their digital volumes and most saw an increase. We got kind of reports of web chat volumes up by 3 or 4 times, which is, enormous thing for people to actually deal with. And it might be that customers... we're kind of becoming inoculated against the voice channel. The same sort of way, if you remember what we saw in the email in the 1990s when, customers tried to use what was the new channel then, everybody's very excited about it, and it's kind of cut costs and all that. But we didn't get particularly good experiences because it wasn't set up properly. And so, people kind of abandoned the email channel en masse in favor of what they knew worked. So, voice. And I just feel that we might be seeing people viewing the voice channel in the same way now. Because You know, I don't know about you, yeah. but I've had like, you know, the worst one I got was 2.5 hours to an airline to change a flight that I literally had to do. And you know, that's not the sort of thing that you would tend to expect from a contact center. So, but I think everybody's been kind of very, you know, both consumers and businesses and people who work in contact centers have been, you know, very good about understanding that, you know, this is a new thing for us. We're all in it together and all that sort of good stuff. And I think, you know, customers have been a lot more patient than they have been. And they, you know, when you actually get through and talk to somebody on the phone, you know, they really want to help and they're really, you know, it's been really great from a point of view of a consumer once you actually get through to talk to somebody. But, you know, it's been pretty awkward. And I think, you know, we've seen a big jump in the kind of digital channels because of this.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, is that patient starting to run? We're a bit thin in some instances. We did a focus group last week on the contact centre and other areas, and obviously we're all customers, as you, yeah. 2.5 hour wait, and the people on that call were saying, well, you know, in the first few months, you know, we gave a lot of leeway. We understood, you know, it's going to take a long while to come back, but now that we are, if you like, starting to come out of lockdown. We're taking a slightly different view on this. You know, we're expecting things to happen for us, and they're not happening. So I think there's also that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally would, because you know, you look at it from the mindset of a customer, and you know, it's been very strange the last few months. You know, you've been locked in your house, and you know, it's been a pretty scary time. So you know, and everybody can feel that, you know, everybody's the same sort of thing. Well, obviously the key workers who, you know, have to go out and just get on with it.
Of course, yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, but you know, for those of us lucky enough to have a kind of office-based jobs, it's like, no, okay, well, we do that, and you know, everybody, you understand it, what's going on. But now, when people are going back to work and they're seeing their family go back to work, and you know, maybe they're going out and things like that, and people feel like they're getting back to some sort of normal, albeit with a face mask on, they're kind of expecting everything else to be kind of normal as well, and that's just not going to happen overnight. But I think it's just you know, it's customers for us, it's just people, isn't it? It's just what we do.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, everyone's now talking about the so-called new normal, aren't they? Which I sometimes, I think everyone's wondering what that's going to end up being. But that's interesting stuff, Steve. So obviously there's been huge pressure on some contact centres. Any advice of taking the pressure off the voice channel? You mentioned already.
You know, the pressure on contact centres and on businesses as a whole, really, it's probably worth mentioning. Yeah, I mentioned the digital then, but it's important to remember that digital channels aren't yet kind of promised land. They were supposed to be a lot cheaper than voice, as I mentioned with email. But, you know, even now, this isn't currently the case. So, you know, more stats from me. A phone call costs about £4.50 on average. Email, web chat, social media, each of those cost between £3 and £4 an interaction. And you compare that to the cost of a self-service IVR session, which is about 25 to 50 pence. And web cell service is considerably lower on a per-session basis. So, you know, I think we all realise there's a lot of cost pressure coming down the road towards us, which means this is something that businesses need to be looking at now. And the main issue is that most digital work is still done manually by agents.
Yes.
The automation aid to start. Talk about 5 years, fully automated web chat, you know, kind of chatbots without people getting involved at all. That was about 1% of everything handled. Now it's up to 5%. And AI-assisted chat, so you know, suggesting stuff to the agent, that's up to 15%, but still, you know, 4 in 5 web chats are still handled entirely.
Still very low, isn't it? Still very low,
Yeah, it is. So we kind of, yes, we can do stuff with digital. We can, you know, look at automation, look at self-service, etc. Great. It's not the only thing, though. And something that we did some... we did a big survey of 1,000 consumers a couple of weeks ago for a report we've got coming out called the Customer Experience Decision Makers Guide, coming out next month. And this is, I always like doing consumer stuff because, you know, talking to businesses is all well and good, but I really like to see what customers are doing as well, kind of what's driving it, what they like, what they don't like. And one of the things, the really interesting thing for me that I found here was that the demographic that likes face-to-face interactions, you know, effectively older people, 55 plus, but most often 65 plus, they have changed their view on this, unsurprisingly enough. So, you know, I was thinking, well, this is going to increase queue times even more, you know, because the personalized touch, the face-to-face, you know, the hand-holding, if you like. Now, you know, what's the next most obvious channel for that? Well, it's the phone, isn't it?
But it is, yeah.
In fact, that's not really what we're seeing. So there's been a big drop in the demand for face-to-face, but the move hasn't been to phone, but it's been for self-service, even for complicated stuff. Like, you know, we give the example of filling in a tax form or a mortgage application or, you know, something complicated. And I think this is one of the reasons for this, is that there's a greater familiarity with digital communication. Well, two things really. Is number one, people might have rung up and had the, you know, the 2.5 hour phone call.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's a greater familiarity with digital communication because, you know, everybody's been using video. And I think, you know, there's a greater willingness to try these new channels. I think we're going to see companies becoming much more imaginative about how they support customers as well. So, you know, if physical face-to-face is off the menu for now, then, you know, think about two-way video, think about co-browse, and think about things like proactive outbound service. So what are these sorts of customers? Why do they ring in? How can we give them the resolution to their issue before they've even realized that they need to ring us in? So, you know, there's going to be a big focus on first contact resolution as well, analyzing where repeat calls come from, and fixing those processes or training those agents. So really kind of trim away a lot of the fat that we're seeing in the contact center now, and just, you know, kind of run a really lean, mean operation and, you know, focus on what customers want before they even know that they want it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. In fact, it leads me on slightly to my next question, I think, Steve. So how has remote working and Corona changed contact center performance?
Well, we did more research in the US than the UK for this, but they are very similar markets, so it's probably worth mentioning that. So in the US, we've seen an increase in call abandonment rates, and, you know, average queue length have gone through the roof for some businesses, as we all know, as consumers. But I don't think this can be laid at the feet of remote working in itself. This is much more likely to be kind of demand issue from customers that would have caused this even in a centralized environment. And it's also worth mentioning that many companies actually reduced their opening hours. So, you know, you're trying to cram more calls into a smaller amount of time, and obviously what's going to happen. We've also seen, you know, in the UK here, absence rates are reported to have dropped. You know, it is easier to kind of get to work if you're not feeling 100%. It's easier to get to work. You go into the next room, as I know, because I've done this for like 20 years. And, you know, people haven't been out and about. They've not been on public transport, so there's fewer bugs to pick up. So, in fact, you know, in some ways, people might actually have been healthier and, you know, fewer colds, sniffles and all that type of stuff that might have kept them off before.
It's worth mentioning
longer term for remote workers over many, many years, attrition in home working environments is usually a lot lower than it is in centralized environments. So that's kind of worth thinking about for businesses going forward. And, you know, the contact center performance, most have got some voice up and running, but it's usually not fully integrated with a CRM. And some found that they couldn't do voice and they just kind of went to digital. Other people have brought in, like, store staff and field staff to help with calls because, you know, they've got customer service background. And, you know, people can't be too harsh about the contact center performance. It's not been ideal, perhaps, in many cases, but, you know, many businesses have done more in the past few weeks than they've done in years. So, you know, I think we all have to kind of accept how amazing a job most businesses with this.
No, agreed, Steve. So how would you say agents have taken to remote working overall?
I'd say generally well. Obviously, you know, you can't block it all, but, you know, I think things like kind of, you know, split shifts kind of maybe suit family life, obviously less commuting, less public transport, that's got to be a good thing.
So,
you know, I think many agents are liking it, feeling, you know, the sense of empowerment once, as long as there's kind of support tools in place, that they're not feeling abandoned. But, you know, for experienced agents, they have a freer hand with this. But I do think it's more difficult for supervisors, you know, because a lot about the kind of, you know, being there, coaching them in a real-time situation, it's much more difficult in a kind of in a remote working scenario. So, you know, businesses have had to, and if they haven't, they should be providing management tools and team messaging, video, and, you know, doing things like upgrading, you know, the workforce optimization suite, for example, to, you know, support supervisors like that.
Okay, thanks, Ed. And turn to the business. What do the businesses think of it, of their agents working from home?
In the wider scheme of things, there are advantages to this. So, you know, longer working hours are possible. If you're not having to get somebody in for a 4-hour shift, and, you know, you can do stuff in the evening, which suits a lot of customers as well. And, it, you know, looking much longer term, I think it's going to be quite a big deal when, you know, the office space, you know, the rent renewal comes up, or the lease renewal, the thing where we'd actually need less office space. And we've seen things like, before, kind of a virtual environment as a whole, the vast majority of contact centers say that call spikes are handled far better if they can bring people in and out and as and when needed. And, you know, certainly at the moment, I think it's impractical to move everybody back to a contact center due to, you know, social distancing and people just, you know, there's going to be some proportion of agents that that's just simply not suitable for at the moment. So, you know, I off the top of my head, I would probably expect around half to move back to the contact center at the moment, remainders stay at home. And as I say, you know, from the business's perspective, there's an improvement in absence rates, improvement in attrition rates, certainly there will be going forward. So I think there's probably potentially more positives than negatives for a business once they get their technology fully sorted out rather than just kind of winging it as some have had to do at the moment.
Yeah, and that's the key, I guess that's the key thing of it. We've been running lots of stories on this, obviously, and one of the stories we ran, I think, just yesterday was, I think it's one of the Fujitsu are going to be halving the amount of office space they have, and I guess that's going to, and the predictions are that the amount of office space is going to fall dramatically, and there'll be more offices turned into residential properties as well.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So when the dust settles, which it will eventually, what do you think remote working is going to look like?
Well, I think it's really, you know, it's key to understand that the issues that the industry has been facing in the last few months are simply an acceleration of the way that things were headed anyway. You know, we have seen a rise in home working over the years, albeit a gentle one. There has been a big uptake in cloud in the past 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I would all admit that there's been an obvious move to digital and AI, but obviously the pace of change that's been phenomenal, and sometimes we can lose sight of the fact this is kind of where we were headed in any case.
Yeah, so, true. Yes.
I think, you know, it's important, you know, when the dust settles, if people ever get a chance to, you know, look around them and see what worked and what didn't, and obviously fix what didn't. You know, improving the integration to the existing systems and CRM is going to be, you know, key. And there needs to be a real kind of focus on flexibility. So that's flexibility of location, about who you have working for you. So it doesn't have to be just agents. It can be like knowledge workers and, you know, field staff, excuse me, people, you know, elsewhere that have the skills and capabilities needed. And, you know, the big rush to home working, we kind of ignored the whole health and safety and ergonomics thing, and that does need to be addressed, obviously, because, yeah.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it might well call off a home visit, which, you know, obviously isn't going to happen for the foreseeable future. So, yeah. You know, and that's, there's so many types of things. It's like, you know, so many departments and people and saying before, oh, no, we can't do that, or we need to do that, or how about thinking about this? And then everybody all of a sudden pulled in the same direction. It's like, here we are. It's pretty mad times. Going forward, I can see a hybrid model working. So that's when maybe an agent will receive their training and coaching in the contact center, but maybe work at home, otherwise or work at home a certain number of weeks. And, you know, I think I can see that working for, you know, the agents and also for the businesses, trying to get the best of both worlds with that. And obviously with that, you need, you know, a smaller offices as well.
Yeah.
In terms of the technology, well, I think, you know, for many contact centers and businesses, the argument about to go to cloud or not is pretty much over. You know, without it, business continuity becomes incredibly difficult. So, but, you know, having said that, there's no need to rip and replace. You know, people can move at their own pace with this. You've got open APIs that made integration possible. But, you know, the access to all required systems rather than just the core systems, which you've got at the moment, is something that needs to be looked at. Because, you know, we need to get the same high level of functionality available for home workers to kind of empower them to do their jobs as well as they can at home as they do in a centralized environment. And really, I think kind of one more absolutely critical thing is having a single up-to-date knowledge base, which will support all interactions and all channels. So whether that's live agents, whether that's your self-service or AI as well, and regardless of where it is, you know, location independent, I think that's going to be pretty critical.
So is it fair to say that the pandemic has kind of been a catalyst for change? The change is already coming, but it's been accelerated, and this catalyst effect has come in because of the pandemic.
Certainly seems that way, yeah. It will be interesting to see how much rebounds back to the old ways of working.
Because
the environments and culture and systems and things like that, they've been set up over many, many years. And, you know, for most businesses, you know, they work to a greater or lesser extent. So, it will be interesting to see how much appetite for, you know, keeping a massive step change there will be in the future. But that's something, you know, businesses will have to look at on an individual basis.
Yeah, only time will tell to some extent on those things. Yeah, we'd all like to be able to look into a crystal ball and see what's happening, but it is a confusing time. I know, Steve. But looking at that, you know, what about customer contacts in general? Where do you think that's heading? Big question.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, isn't it? So, I think, again, if we look at the kind of pressures on customers, on businesses, I mean, come up with some things that you can make a serious argument for. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't tend to be able to predict the future, but for what it's worth, I think you're going to see, you know, a increasing polarization in self-service versus assisted service. So what I mean by that is voice won't go away, but it will become a premium channel. And on the other side of things, you're going to have self-service at the moment for many businesses is fairly simple stuff. It's not rocket science. Businesses don't seem to have pushed self-service, the functionality and sophistication, as hard as they could have done. It's there to kind of soak up the really, really simple stuff. The things that, you know, just stop an agent reading stuff off a screen because, you know, read it off your own screen if you like. And I think we're going to have to start being a bit more clever with how we use self-service and think about, you know, what else can we put in front of people? How else can we encourage people to do it? So, and even do things like when they're on a call, rather than say, yeah, this is the answer, great, and get them off the phone as quick as possible. Take a minute or two and show them around a website, maybe, you know, do some co-browse with them and say, this is how you'd find this out. So, yes, you know, in saving things down the line there, you're encouraging them to use self-service rather than just like say, yeah, it's there, it's on self-service. Why don't you visit the website?
Virtual
like,
hand-holding sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, we with things like co-browse and video, you can do that and rather and then make it feel good for the customer rather than feel like just go away and leave us alone. There is a massive opportunity for digital to rise. I mean, digital is one of these things. 10 years ago, it was right about 10% of inbound interactions, and now it's about 25%, of which the majority is email.
Still quite low.
Yeah, it is still quite low. And from that web chat, it's probably 4 or 5%, which I think is, you know, for such a really great channel in terms of immediacy, then, you know, that really should be higher.
It's underutilized, isn't it? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got AI there that can sit there and do a job as a chatbot as well, and then, you know, hand over to an agent or assist an agent, things like that. So, it's, you know, web chat, I think, is going to be one of those things that really doesn't fall back too much further. But as I say, it's important to remember, I'm not saying stick everything on self-service, absolutely not, because self-service doesn't always work and can't always work. And you're always going to need an escalation to a live agent. But I think going back to chat there, you've got one of the things that were good about chat is you've got a chance to keep the context and the history of what's been going on, rather than have to drop that and call in and, you know, start again from scratch. And, you know, as a consumer, I don't know if you find this as well, but kind of a 6-minute web chat seems an awful lot shorter to me than a 6-minute phone call. You know, a lot
Agreed. I do like web chat. I do like it. It's my preferred channel.
Yeah, you can do something else, you know, paper or something else. It just seems a lot easier.
Agreed.
And I think.
And you've got a record of the conversation as well.
Yes, absolutely. It ticks an awful lot of boxes.
Yeah.
I think it's probably worth also mentioning cloud to a greater extent. I've talked about the flexibility, but also the scalability as well, because there's going to be this pressure on cost for businesses. Cloud offers a kind of scalability. It's control over cost. So, you know, only pay for what you need when you need it. You know, keep the right capacity, scale up, scale down as you need to do that. I think that's going to be, you know, even more important than it is. And I can see that the customer contact space in general is going to kind of work for agents and customers by being able to extend working hours through remote work, and that will support that. I think
with that great flexibility that affords,
it won't be out of the ordinary anymore.
Understood.
Yeah, I was just going to say about the kind of centralized contact center environment. It won't just be about that, even for those companies that bring it back there, because once you've got your kind of cloud infrastructure in place and you've got your systems open to whoever is a quote agent, that can be anybody. Like I mentioned, field service, knowledge workers elsewhere in the organization, crowdsourcing, gig workers, you've got, remote agents, and you've got people in the centralized contact center as well. You've got this kind of, big pool of resources to draw upon. One thing I would say is I don't see any drop in customer demand coming. Obviously your kind of business fails. So I think if we're going to have to lower the cost of service without dropping off in terms of customer experience, you need to do things like proactive outbound, which I talked about, contact on first contact resolution, and automation of digital channels. And those are the things that are going to kind of really lower the costs and free up the voice channel. But once you get into kind of a proactive environment for predicting what people are going to call in about and avoiding calls like that, you've gone beyond first contact resolution, you're actually into no contact resolution, which is obviously far, far cheaper and makes the customer feel great. I think you're really
like a win-win sort of thing. Time for one final question with you, Steve, and you did touch on AI earlier on, in your view, what will the role of AI be in the contact center going forward?
I think it's going to get even more airtime than we've been used to in the past couple of years. And I will say that our report on AI it's gone so much, been downloaded so many more times than most of the other ones, which even one.
Interesting.
It is. It's just the interest in AI is just phenomenal. And I think it's really key to, at the moment, understand that it will be used to help agents as well as customers. So it's not just about, chatbots and stuff like that. It's also about, having an agent, having a kind of virtual buddy sitting there, helping out, what's the next best action, suggesting answers, things like that. We have to bear in mind a lot of customer queries coming into the contact center recently have been out of the ordinary, not the sort of type of thing that agents normally used to deal with. So having an AI around that can be what's worked for everybody else and then suggesting that to that agent, even if the agent hasn't actually come across that issue before, it's going to be hugely powerful. And I talked about, moving away from plain vanilla self-service into, more sophisticated stuff. I mean, AI and knowledge bases will help with that. And so things like, also, I talked about briefly about first contact resolution. I will think that AI will help with understanding the root cause of repeat calls, because at the moment, like 20% of calls coming into contact center about issues a customer's already rung about. So obviously, that's a cost. It's the fact the customer's irritated. The agent the last time would have been frustrated because they weren't able to help them. Repeat calls are not good things. So, if we understand that and AI can do that on a massive scale, then, that's going to be a big, big step towards you getting rid of a large majority of repeat calls. And really, finally, I think it's just important to notice that people see AI as being a benevolent presence, kind of augmenting agents, but they're not planning, to use AI to replace them.
So in summary, would it be fair to say that AI is in a great position to sort of come of age, and also that AI is as good for the employee experience as it is for the customer experience? It's a kind of win-win for our people and our customers. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of rolling off the back of the interaction analytics piece, which, has been incredibly powerful and still, is moved in, being deployed in an increasing number of use cases. And, kind of AI goes beyond that. And it's I do think that... Although some of the stuff that's happening at the moment is pretty sophisticated and was unthinkable 5 years ago, I think give it another 5 years and it's going to be, this is going to be a super interesting time to be in the customer contact business, put it that way.
Absolutely. And I think you've got a report coming out quite soon, Steve. You touched on one of those reports. Is it the user's guide report that's coming out soon?
Yeah, we've got a number of reports. We've been really, churning them out recently. We've got stuff cloud for... that resolution, we've got stuff on AI, we've got a big one on remote working, which is kind of obviously extremely well-being off the moment, and we've got a customer experience guide coming up as well, also workforce optimization and outbound. So we're keeping ourselves busy.
Lots happening at Contact Babel, Steve, in these unprecedented times. So Steve, it's been fantastic speaking with you, very insightful. It's great to hear from someone who probably knows more about the contact center business than anybody else in this country, at least. And great to have your insight, Steve. Really is great. So thanks for contributing to the podcast. And take care and stay safe, Steve.
All right, thanks a lot.